وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
كيف أنت؟
الحمد لله بخير يا شيخ.
طيب، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. As we say repeatedly, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad was specifically made regarding the manners and the conduct of a Muslim. How does a Muslim relate with the rest of the people? How does a Muslim conduct himself regarding his parents or her parents? How does the woman relate regarding his mother? How do you relate regarding your father? What are the rights they have over you? How do you relate with your brothers, with your sisters, with your other distant family relatives? How about when they become tough? How do you handle them? Then how do you relate with your neighbors? How do you relate with your friends? How do you relate with your colleagues at work? Those of them who are your superiors, those of them who are below you, and all of these. After all of these, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he took us to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is from the biggest of the manner of the individual. How does he conduct himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his creator? So he explained and gave guidance to Ibn Allah regarding the issues of adhkar and the issues of dua. He gave guidance regarding adhkar, even remembrance of Allah, and he gave guidance regarding dua. In all of these, he was citing narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He even gave a chapter where he mentioned about 30 to 40 supplications. How do you pray? How do you ask for your needs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah was very, very explicit on these matters. I hope that in the last major season of dua, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, and of course before that, the days of Ramadan, and the last 10 nights of Ramadan. I'm sure those chapters on dua, those chapters on adhkar, were quite useful that we had studied them. All of what we had studied on adhkar and dua, it would have been very useful. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. After all of these issues, Al-Imam al-Bukhari returned to the issues of our dealings with the rest of the people. And then he came to the last issues we handled. If you come to Hadith 739, Al-Imam al-Bukhari handled a matter that was strange, Dalla to Ahlil Islam, the kind of feelings amongst the people of Islam that points to their makana. Ba'dihim, makana to ba'dihim, indal ba'd. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned dalla to Ahlil Islam, how some Muslims can relate and see can do some things because of the status he have, the person to whom he spoke. He gave a hadith where some of the companions and the tabi'un were cooking, and his neighbor, because of the closeness they had, he had had a visitor with him, a guest, and he had nothing to provide the guest. He had to go and carry the food of his brother. And the brother was glad over that. My brother took my food without telling me in order to host his guest. And the second brother who owns the food finds it normal and prays for his brother. Why? They were very, very close friends. They had night feelings amongst themselves. This kind of a behavior amongst two people who really love themselves, amongst two people who are really very close, amongst two people who casually and mutually respect themselves, it has a place in our religion. And it is called Adala, Adala to Ahlul Islam. Adala. You say something to your brother. And you know, the people who are engaged in worldly activities, they also practice this Adala. Even when they don't know that it is from the Sunnah of Islam. You will hear someone was invited as a guest to an occasion. He'll be giving a donation for himself. He'll also give a donation for his friend. A Dangote can give a donation for Otedola. I'm sure we know that. An Otedola can give a donation on behalf of Dangote. That, don't worry. On behalf of so-so person, I pledge so-so to so-so amount. Why? Because of their close relationship. Because of their dealings. This thing also occurs in our deen, Islam. A brother will come into your house without notice. He opens your door to your parlor without notice. He requests you, hey, cook for me, I'm coming. And I like to eat chicken, I like to eat this, this, this. He tells you what he wants before he arrives. Why? He sees you as his brother from whom he can ask whatever he wants. This kind of a closeness, this kind of a trust, this kind of mutual show of esteem and love amongst two people. When it occurs amongst the people of Islam for the sake of Allah, it is called Dala. I hope that we pick that one. After that, Al-Imam al-Bukhari came up on the issues of Abiyafa, hosting our guests, hospitality, and accommodating our guests. So we came on the chapter on Jaizatul Dhaif. We said the Jaizah is the extra treatment we provide to our guests upon arrival. The guest arrives in our house today, and that very night we gave him a special treatment. We even came to conclude that Al-Ja'izah and Abdiyafa are both compulsory for us as Muslims. We also delineated the difference between Al-Ja'izah and Abdiyafa. Abdiyafa includes Al-Ja'izah. But on the first day, Abdiyafa is referred to as what? Al-Ja'izah. Abdiyafa hospitality is part of special hospitality. When it is special for the first day, it is called Al-Ja'izah. The first day's treatment is called Al-Ja'izah. And Ja'izah is part of the 3 days of Al-Diyafa. We took all these lessons. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made us understand that Al-Diyafa to Salasa to Ayyam. Al-Diyafa, hospitality for our guests, is for 3 days. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَا كَانَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَهُوَ صَدَقَهُ. Whatever your host provides you after those first 3 days Al-Imam al-Bukhari cited this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, from the hadith of Abu Hurairah, that occurs as hadith 742, where the Prophet said alayhi salatu wassalam, Ma kana ba'da dhalik, whatever your host provides you after those first 3 days of Adriyafa, that was obligatory on him to take care of you very well as a guest. Whatever he does after that is part of sadaqah, meaning it is not compulsory, meaning its ruling is different from the ruling of Adriyafa. Adriyafa is wajiba. وما كان بعد ذلك فهو صدقة. And then the Prophet warned us, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, every guest لا يحل له أن يسوي عنده حتى يخرجه. لا يحل له أن يقيم أو أن يسوي عنده حتى يخرجه لا يحل له. The Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام, it is not lawful for the guest to stay to up to a time that he begins to become a means of haraj, a means of burden for your hosts. Don't stay until that time. First 3 days is compulsory. After that is sadaqah. Your host is still keeping you after 3 days because he wants to earn the rewards of sadaqah. Don't now prolong it. You continue to stay beyond 3 days, beyond, until your host begins to feel burdened by your staying with them. This is not love. We continued upon other issues connected to Diyafa, such as that it is from the Sunnah also that the wife of the man who was visited, the wife of the host, Ikhwa, the women in the house can serve our guests. The women in our house can serve our guests. When it happens, it has happened to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. A woman was married, radiallahu anha. That was the wife of Abu Sayyid al-Sa'idi, radiallahu anhu. When they had their marriage feast inside their house. Please note this, that walima that the Prophet attended, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was inside the house of Abu Sayyid al-Sa'idi, the wife who was just the new bride, was the one who served the Prophet the food, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the presence of every other person who had attended. The ulama say things like this they don't have general rulings, they have conditions. The first condition is that when we feel that no harm, no trial, no trouble can come out of that, then we can do so. In the amnil fitna, yes, you can do it. You are safe. It should not lead to the guest asking the woman how she is, the way many brothers would have behaved today. May Allah protect us. So in the amnil fitna, when there is aman, when there is security, when there is safety, when there is trust, when there is honor, when there are people of esteem, who would even be shy to raise up their heads towards the woman, to look at her, not to say they want to start a conversation with her? In these kinds of circumstances, yes, our wives are supposed to come herself, come out of the house, the food, to the place, to the location for the feast. The first condition is amnul fitna. May Allah protect us from fitna. The second condition is that the woman should be properly dressed. properly dressed in her veils, in her jilbab, no part of her is exposed, so that if we see the men in the home are people of esteem, the dressing of the woman itself does not become a trial for the home. So we must have a man, we must have security away from any trial and fitna. And then the woman must be properly covered up. May Allah protect us and preserve our homes. After all of these, ayyuhal ikhwa, we came to issues about nafaqatul rajuli ala ahlihi, the virtues of a man's spending upon his family. That was Hadith 748, the virtue of a man's spending on his family. That one took us up to Hadith 752. What is the reward for a man when he spends upon his home? We discussed this at length in the various classes we had before the days of Dua and Adhkar regarding Hajj, regarding Fulhijjah, and other activities that got us busy. Today, bismillah, we'll be looking at a completely different topic that Imam al-Bukhari has brought here. This topic, if you look at it very well, perhaps the Imam should have mentioned it under the matters of Adhkar and Dua. Perhaps this topic should have come under the issues of Al-Azkar wal-Ad'iyah. What is that? Babu Dua'i Iza Baqiya Thuluthul Layl. Babu Dua'i Iza Baqiya Thuluthul Layl. The chapter regarding the excellence and the virtues of making dua is a baqiya thuluthul layl, when it remains the last of making dua, how good it is, the goodness in it, the benefits in it, the advantage in it, in what? Making dua is a baqiya thuluthul layl, when it remains the last third of the night. You would agree with me that this should have come under the issues of dua and adhkar that we had studied earlier. So the question would come, why then has Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought it here? An answer for this is that Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned it here by way of making us going back to remember issues of dua and adhkar. Yes, we have discussed other issues after dua and adhkar, but please don't forget dua and adhkar. Don't allow these issues we have discussed. Don't keep your mind off dua. Don't keep your mind off adhkar. Don't forget dua and adhkar. So he chose to mention something very serious, very important about dua, by way of making us go back to remember dua, going back to remember adhkar. And if you look at our own condition in our own country today, what benefits us today are matters regarding dua, matters regarding adhkar, because we get into a situation where what we all need is protection from Allah. What we all need is safety from Allah, is help from Allah, is assistance from Allah. So this kind of a topic just suits our condition. So it's like asking, when is it best to begin to beg Allah for our needs? The response is a baqiya thuluthul layl, when it remains the last third of the night. The third of the night, because the night starts from Maghrib. Ikhwah, the night starts from Ghurub ash-Shams, when the sun descends into the horizon. That is the time we observe Salatul Maghrib. So from this time to Tulub al-Fajr is dawn, the appearance of dawn. So let's give an example. we are talking about how to calculate philosophy or how to break the night into parts. The night starts from Ruk Shams and it ends at Tulul Fajr. The night starts at Ruk Shams and it ends at Tulul Fajr. Just the time we have in Ramadan to eat food. We break fast when? Ghurub al-Shams. When do we start fasting? Ghurub al-Fajr. So we fast during daytime. We eat during nighttime in Ramadan. So this nighttime, let's say, for example, that Ghurub al-Shams occurs by 7 p.m. For example, by 7 p.m., there is Ghurub al-Shams. And by 5 a.m., for example, there is Tulul Fajr. If this is the case, don't be surprised. At 5 a.m., yes, there can be Tulul Fajr. In Makkah, Medina, from where we just returned from 4:30, sometimes 4:15, there is Fajr already. So it's possible. So let's say, for example, we want to calculate and divide the night. How do we do that? Somebody can ask at question time. How do we know the last or the second or the first third of the night? This is how to know it. The night starts at Ghurub al-Shams, the time of Salatul Maghrib. So count that to be at 7 p.m., for example. And the night ends at Tulul Fajr. At dawn, the appearance of dawn, the emergence of dawn. Let's keep that at 5 a.m., for example. Between 7 p.m. and 5 a.m., how many hours do we have? That is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Then we have 5 hours. That's 10 hours. Between 7 p.m. and 5 a.m., you have 10 hours. So the first 3 hours, that is the first third of the night, three and a half hours, that is the first third of the night. The second 3.5 hours, that is the second third of the night. The last 3.5 hours, that is the third part of the night. So if Ghurub al-Shams occurs at 7 p.m. and Tulul al-Fajr occurs at 5 a.m., when will the last third of the night be? When will the last third of the night be? It will be around from 1:30. Is that correct? Between 1:30 and 5 o'clock, how many hours do we have? That is 3.5 hours. So between 1:30 and 2 a.m., this is the time that we are talking about. If you wake up between 1:30 and 2 a.m., you have woken up in the last third of the night. So call it between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. This is the time that we are talking about. So Imam al-Bukhari, he brought a hadith to explain the virtue of making dua إِذَا بَكِيَ ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ, when it remains the last third of the night. In the example that we have given, that will be between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he reported a hadith that nada rajulun rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day a man called the Prophet, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya rasulallah, ayyu du'ai asma'u. The man said, O Messenger of Allah, which du'a that I made is most heard by Allah? Which dua is most heard? What time is to make dua? He's asking about the time for dua. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sajawu al-layl al-akhir, in the last, in the middle of the night, the last part of it, the last part of the night, al-akhir, the last third of the night, meaning from that 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. the example that we gave. Ikhwa targets this time. Between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. In our own time as it is now, that would be between around 3 a.m. and 5:20 of thereabouts. Between 2:30 and 5:30. Between 2:30 and 5:30. So if you always wake up at 3:30 to 4:30, that's a very good thing for you. Always wake up between this time, 3:30 and above. If you always wake up from 3:30, you have an effect. What is that? You are woken up at the time when Dua is best answered. The time that the Dua is best answered. Are you Dua? What time? Dua at what time is best answered? Ya Rasulallah. Said Jawful Layl al-Akhir. The last part of the night. So, time from 3:30 to around 5. 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. If you wake up at this time, you make dua. You are very, very, very near Allah. In another hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that أَقْرَبُ مَا يَقُولُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ أَقْرَبُ مَا يَقُولُ. The closest you are to your Lord, it is in this third of the night, this last part of the night, Ikhwa. And you know, that is when those who just sleep, that is when they enjoy the sleep most, the last part of the night. The same thing, young boys today who browse and stay late in the night. If you wake many of them up at this time, they find it difficult to stand up. Why? They had kept a very late night. That's why one of the things we have to understand with this matter again is that we should be sleeping early. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Salatul Isha, he returned to his home. After Salatul Isha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he returned to his home. If he had any brief discussion with any one of his wives, he discussed with them briefly, and then he will resort and relax for the day. So, Ikhwa, it is very, very necessary that we understand that if you keep late night, you are not sleeping early, you are busy with the phone, reading news, until 12:30, 1 a.m. How can you now stand up at 3:30? Somebody just slept at 1:30. He just slept at 1 o'clock. For some people, it's so bad. They keep awake up to 2 a.m. How can you wake up? How can you wake up for this period of answering dua? How can you wake up at 3:30 when you slept at 2:30? So don't be unfair to yourself. Don't deprive yourself of goodness by keeping late night. And keeping late night, as we have mentioned, that it is bad in the affairs of our deen. It's also bad with respect to our health. If you keep late night, you are bringing down the immunity of your body. I'm sure medical doctors know this better. Those who keep late nights, they fall ill easily. Those who keep late nights, they fall ill easily. Why? The resistance against disease in their immune system becomes weakened because of poor sleep. They suffer headache regularly. They also suffer catarrh regularly. They also suffer inability to concentrate during the time. Why? They had kept late night. So the deprivations are many that you deprive yourself if you keep late night. Don't keep late night, oh brothers. Don't keep late night, oh sisters. I beg you in the name of Allah, sleep early. When we're younger than this, we're taught in school early to wake up. So please go to bed early so that you can wake up early for this moment of virtue. In that hadith that we read, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the closest the servant is to his Lord is fi jawfi al-layli al-akhir. It's in the night, the last part of the middle of the night. He then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَكُونَ مِمَّنْ يَذْكُرِ اللَّهَ فِي تِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ فَقُمْ فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَكُونَ مِمَّنْ يَذْكُرِ اللَّهَ. If you are able to be among those who will be remembering Allah at that time, فَقُمْ, then you should be. If you are able to be from amongst those who will be awake in the last third of the night, making dhikr, making dua, the Prophet adjures, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should be amongst those people. Why? This is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari will answer in this hadith under this chapter heading. This hadith, of course, as hadith 753. It's Al-Imam al-Bukhari, said, rahimahullah, حدثنا إسماعيل قال حدثني مالك عن ابن شهاب عن أبي عبد الله الأغر عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى في كل ليلة إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر ويقول من يدعوني فأستجيب له من يسألني فأعطيه من يستغفرني فأذكر له. Imam al-Bukhari mentioned this hadith from the Shaykh Ismail. So he said, حدثنا عن إسماعيل. Imam Ismail is that well-known Imam from the scholars of Medina. His name was Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was the son of the elder sister of Imam Malik. Al-Imam Malik had a sister. His son was who? Ismail. So Ismail, his maternal uncle, his khal, was who? Malik. So Al-Imam Malik was the uncle from other side. Arabs say that is the khal of the individual. So the khal of Al-Imam Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was who? Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. So he was his maternal uncle. He was also his sheikh. He was his maternal uncle. He was also his sheikh. Some people find it difficult to learn from people like that. They have uncles, but they want to behave like, because the behavior will be different. Uncle, 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 you must still follow the manners of knowledge. So if you want to say uncle, uncle, and you don't want to follow the manners of knowledge, it will be difficult for you to get knowledge from your uncle. Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was very learned. He was amongst the major scholars of Al-Madinah in his time, rahimahullah. I usually say for a teacher to have some level of students means he's well knowledgeable. Otherwise, he will not be a teacher for the likes of Al-Bukhari. So Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, reports this hadith from his Shaykh Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, rahimahullah. And he's also reporting it from his khan, his maternal uncle, Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. So this hadith, Ismail ibn Abi Uwais said, حدثني Malik. Al-Imam Malik reported to me, Ali ibn Shihab. Ibn Shihab was Al-Imam al-Zuhri. Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri. He was well known, the teachers of Al-Imam Malik. And he was amongst the Tabi'un. Al-Imam al-Zuhri was a Tabi'i. And here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned it with the isnad of Ibn Shihab in Zuhri, reported from Abu Abdullah al-Aghar. Abu Abdullah al-Aghar, his name was Salman. He used to be called Salman al-Aghar, Salman al-Karim. Al-Aghar refers to who? Al-Karim, Honorable Salman. Salman, the man of honor. In fact, that was his name. His surname was almost unknown. Salman al-Aghar, or Abu Abdullah al-Aghar. He was also from the well-known scholars of Medina. This is not Sanadun Madaniyun. Ismail ibn Abi Qais kana Madaniyan. Imam Malik was Imam of Medina. Ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri was Imam from the scholars of Medina. Abu Abdullah al-Aghar, Salman al-Aghar, was also from the scholars of Medina. And then this hadith has been reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who left Yemen with his mother and his slave and came to take residence in Medina 3 years before the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for those 3 years, he never did anything except learning from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar said so, Bara ibn Azib said so. He said when Abu Huraira came radiallahu anhu to Medina, all the way from Yemen, he was never busy in the market like us. Yes, he suffered hunger. He suffered not having money because he was not trading, he was not doing anything. Radiallahu anhu. He survived with whatever the Prophet provided the people who were in the masjid. But the purpose was to pay attention to documenting. It was not just memorizing. Whatever he heard from the Prophet, he was writing it. Abu Huraira was writing down. Radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira was memorizing. In fact, Abu Huraira shared his nights into three. One night of sleep, one night of revising his works, and the third night of prayer. Abu Huraira's night was three, radiallahu anhu. The first night of what? Sleep. The second night of what? Revising whatever he wrote from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third night to do what? To do what he wants to tell us now. To make dua, to make istighfar, to make azkar, to make qiyamul layl. That was what he spent his night for, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. First night for what? Sleep. Second night for what? Revising his lessons that he had learned and documented from the Prophet and memorizing them radiallahu anhu. And the third night was for what? Was for ibadah radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira said radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى في كل ليلة إلى سماء الدنيا. ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى في كل ليلة إلى السماء الدنيا. Our Lord سبحانه, our Creator ربنا, our Sustainer سبحانه وتعالى, our Provider سبحانه وتعالى, the one in charge of our affairs, our Lord Allah, ينزل في كل ليلة. Allah descends سبحانه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said Allah descends, and Allah descends, ikhwa, kama yaliku bi jalalihi, as it befits his majesty, as it befits his mightiness. Don't ask how, don't ask that question, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Al-Imam Abu Zura'a al-Razi has said to us, said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yanzil ولم يقل كيف ينزل. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, ينزل, Allah descends. ولم يقل كيف ينزل. He didn't tell us how he descends, subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا نقول كيف ينزل. So we would not say, how does Allah descend? Oh, no, we would not ask that question. نقول كما قال رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will say as the Prophet said. What did the Prophet say? Yanzilu Rabbuna. So we will say what? Yanzilu Rabbuna. The Prophet didn't tell us kaifa, how. Fala nakulu kaifa. So we will not ask why. The Prophet didn't tell us why. And it is prohibited to ask because the companions too did not ask. He didn't tell us. He didn't ask. So to ask how is an innovation. Those who asked how became deviants. The later generation, 300-400 years later, some people began to ask how, thinking that they are intelligent. They went astray. The stray they went into was they began to reject this information from the Prophet Muhammad. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lam yakul kayfa yanzil. He did not tell us how did he descend, subhanahu. So we will not ask how would he descend. Nakulu kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will say as the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? Yanzilu Rabbuna. Our Lord would descend subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kulli laylatin ila samaa'i dunya. During every night. It will descend to As-Sama'ud-Dunya. As-Sama'ud-Dunya, you can interpret it in two ways and it means just one thing. If you say Sama'ud-Dunya, the lowest heaven, that is the closest to the earth, you can say Sama'ud-Dunya. You can also say the heaven that is nearer to the earth. You either say the lowest heaven, or you say the heaven that is nearer to the earth. He descends to the lowest mountain, the heaven that is nearest to the earth. Yanzilu Rabbuna tabaraka wa ta'ala fi kulli baytin ila sama'i dunya. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that our Lord descends. Like Al-Imam Abu Zur'a said, that's what all the people of Islam, Sunnah, say. The people of Sunnah say, Yanzil, call, he said, alayhi salat, our Lord descends. Walam yakul kayfa yanzil. He didn't tell us how does he come down. No, he didn't tell us. Falana kulu kayfa. So we will say, how does he descend? So as we would not make the case, we would not also make them feel. Tamthil is whether you imagine in your mind or you give a literal description of an example of that kind of a difference. Don't make tamthil. Why? Allah is not like us. He told us many places, Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Nothing is like him. So don't think that the way you descend is the way he will descend. If you want to understand this hadith from the way you descend, you have a problem. Why? You are making and deducing an illustration from two completely different things. It's like vision. Let's give an example. Even we among creatures, we have differences. Among human beings, some of us see very far. Some of us can't see far. We can only see something that is near us. Some animals can see far. They can see up to 1 kilometer. Yes, some birds, some animals, some lions. Their sense of hearing, their sense of sight. Yes, we have ears, they have ears. But we hear things differently. We have eyes, they have eyes. But we see things differently. If there is a difference in all of these attributes amongst creatures, there is certainly a big, big, big difference between the creator of all things and creatures. So don't liken Allah's descent. When you liken it, you can say, okay, if you are in the U.S. and you are in Saudi Arabia, the night is different. So how is the night different? You are bringing it to your small and thinking it to be the kind of descent, the way creatures descend. So, Echoa, this descent is as it befits His mightiness, Subhanahu, and His messenger, who will tell us, because it's also from the ghaib. From our iman is al-imanu bil-ghaib. Al-lazina yu'minuna bil-ghaib. When He said about people of iman, mentioned in the Quran, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Who are those muttaqun? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This is ghaib. We don't see it. No instrument measures it. No sense captures it. We don't know anything about it, except what we have been told by the one who was sent by Allah, who is descending. That was the Prophet Muhammad. So we just say as he said it, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا. Would not take the keys to say, this is how, he did not tell us how. And the companions didn't ask how. So we say, as he said, that Yanzilu Rabbuna. We are not also going to give an illustration and a similitude to it. So we'll not make them see it. The third thing we will not also do. We will not also make that see and reject that. No, he did not descend. This is the way of the Asha'ira. So if you hear somebody saying Ash'ari, Ash'ari, they are within Tamthil and Ta'til. The Firakutallah are within these things. They make Taqif, they make Tamthil, and then they make what? Ta'til. Those who make Ta'til are the Jahmiya. They reject it. No, no, no. We don't believe in it. As for the people of Iman and Sunnah, we say what the Prophet said. What did he say? Yanzilu Rabbuna. And he's the one that has been sent by the Lord. And we are not seeing that Lord. So we believe and accept as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without making tawheef, asking how, neither making tawheef, giving it a similitude. Or do we say, give ta'til, rejecting and denying that it is like this. So we see as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارُكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Our Lord descends on every night to the nearest heaven to the earth. The heaven that is nearest to the earth. Our Lord descends, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the descent that befits His Majesty, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not like any sort of a descent. It's a descent, yes, He descends. The how of it is known to Him alone, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He descends, Hina baqiya thuluthu al-layl al-akhir, when it remains thuluthu al-layl al-akhir, the last part of the third of the night, the last third of the night. If you divide the night into three, as we have explained earlier, that last part from 3 a.m. to 5, 2:30 a.m. to 5:30 a.m., this period, this window in our own times, this window, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا في كل ليلة إلى السماء الدنيا. Our Lord descends on every night like this to the nearest heaven to the earth. That is the heaven nearest to the earth. ويقول, our Lord the Almighty begins to say, سبحانه وتعالى, من يدعوني فأستجيب له. Who will call upon me that I may answer him? Allah is asking in the last part of the night, who will call upon me? Call upon me, I will answer. Man yad'uni, who is it that is calling me so that I answer? Man yas'aluni fa'u'tiyahu. Who will ask me? Who will make requests from me? Fa'u'tiyahu. So that I can grant him his requests. If you call me, I will answer. If you ask me, I will give you. Man yastaghfiruni fa'aghfir lahu. Who will ask for forgiveness from me so that I can grant him forgiveness? Three things. The first one is what? Dua. Man yad'uni fa'astajib lahu. Who will make dua unto me so that I grant his dua? Man yas'aluni fa'u'tiyahu. Who will make request of me so that I give him? Man yastaghfiruni. Who will ask for forgiveness from me? Fa'aghfira lahu. So that I can forgive him. Ikhwa, these three things can collapse into one thing. What is that? If you are asking Allah, tas'alu. If you are asking Allah, is it not dua? If you are making istighfar, is it not dua? So these three things can come into that first one. When yad'uni fa'astajib lahu. Who we call upon, yad'uni, call upon me. Invoke me, supplicate to me, fa'astajib lahu. So that I grant it. That supplication can be su'al, it can be a request, it can also be what is istighfar. This is why the ulama say, Allah mentions something general. What is the general thing? Dua. And then he went to the specifics of it. What is the specific? Tas'aluni. They also said that su'al is when you request for what you want. You want khairat. Allah, give me, give me, give me. You are making requests. Allah, give me, give me, give me, give me. Allah, give me, give me, give me. But if it is istighfar, you are afraid of the evil repercussions of your sins. So that istighfar is about protect me, protect me, protect me. Something you are afraid of. You are running away from you. But su'al is you are asking for. So my yes, Al-Ni, who will ask me for things that I wish so that I give him? Who will ask me to protect him or her from evil so that I protect them? It's clear. Both asking for good and asking for protection away from evil, the two of them will collapse into dua. So what will now this mean? This now means every asking, seek my protection, seek my protection. In Arabic rhetoric, al-balagha, they refer to it as al-itnab. One way to say one thing three times. Man yad'uni, who will ask me so that I can give him? Man yas'aluni, man yad'uni, who will call upon me so that I give? Who will invoke me, supplicate to me, I give? Man yas'aluni, who will ask me? It's still the same thing. If you are asking him, you are invoking him. You are supplicating to him. The same thing if you are asking him for a tikfar, you are also making dua. So this one happens when it remains the last third of the night. So I adjure you all, ikhwa, make good use of the last third of the night. In our condition today, in our country, we need a lot of dua. Let us make good use of the last third of the night from 3 a.m. to 5:30. Ikhwa, stand up. From the attributes of the people of righteousness, Allah said, "Wal mustaghfirina bil ashab." That's in Surah Al-Imran. They are mustaghfirun bil ashab. This is the time the ulama also called waqtu sahar. Can call it Sahri al Sahar, Waqtu Sahar, the time of Sahar, the time we make suhoor, we eat suhoor. That time is a very beneficial time. That time of suhoor. So it is called Waqtu Sahar. It is the last part of the night from 3 a.m. up to Lu'ul Fajr, Ikhwa, let us use that time. When Allah also praised the people of Iman, that kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yahjaun wa bil athhab hum yastaghfirun. This is the same thing Allah is saying, man yastaghfiruni fa aghfir lahu, who will ask for my pardon, my forgiveness, so that I forgive him, who will ask for protection away from evil, so that I protect him. We have also heard that people who commit evil usually commit that evil in the last third of the night. Shaitan also wants to hold people down. The last third of the night, sleep comes, you are enjoying it. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaitan will be telling you, sleep, don't stand up. Sleep, 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 don't stand up. Don't listen to Shaitan, stand up. Come and enjoy this time. Ask Allah, beg Allah, ask for his protection, supplicate to him, invoke him. Then another thing we can learn here, in this hadith, he didn't even talk about Salatul Layl. He didn't talk about Qiyamul Layl. So, and that's also the best time for Qiyamul Layl. So, Ikhwa, when you make Qiyamul Layl, add dua to it. You can catch two birds with one stone. That same Qiyamul Layl, make Salat, make dua in it, make Salat to Al-Nabi, make Adhkar, seek for forgiveness. Make Tilawatul Quran. That night is not just night for standing and praying alone. Make dua, Ikhwa. If it now happens that you stood up, you are awake, or you could not even stand up for Salatul Layl, right on your bed, yeah, be making dua. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. The hadith that we read earlier, this last part of the night, Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فإن استطعت أن تكون ممن يذكر الله في تلك الساعة فكن. If you are able to be among those who are remembering Allah in Salat, who are remembering Allah in Dua, who am remembering Allah in Istighfar, he till kasa, in that last thought of the night, in yabuqa thuluthul layl al-akhir, when it remains the last thought of the night, that last thought of the night, Ikhwa, don't joke with it. Do you know one thing? All things being equal, your brother who keeps that thought of the night is stronger than you if you don't keep that thought of the night. Wallahi ladhi la ilaha. If you have a brother, everything you do, he does it. All other things being equal, but he keeps that thought of the night. He don't keep it. He's stronger than you. He's stronger than you. Any person who keeps that time of the night is stronger than you. So keep that last thought of the night. Ikhwa. But like I said earlier, it will not be possible if you keep it night. We don't start night. You are pressing phone and pressing phone till 12:01 a.m. You already spent the first third of the night pressing phone. That should be the time when you sleep. You are pressing phone. Even if you want to study, be like a poor. Study in the second part of the night. Sleep in the third part of the night. Sleep. Then wake up. Study. Then pray. This is how to spend our night. Sleep, wake up, study, and then pray. Study if you have to study. Otherwise, sleep in the first two thirds. The first two thirds, sleep, rest, relax. Then wake up around 3 or 3:30, this part of the night. Make nafila, make salah, make qiyamul layl, maybe one rak'ah or three rak'ahs or five or seven or nine or 11. Make rak'ahs after that. Sit down to make dua. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah will be asking in that part of the night, man yad'uni, who is this? Who will invoke me? فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ, so that I can grant his invocation. مَنْ يَسْأَلْنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ, who is it who will ask me so that I can give him? مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي, who is it who will ask for forgiveness? فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ, so that I can forgive him. May Allah make this easy for us. May Allah forgive all of us. May Allah answer our dua. May Allah lead for us to always wake up in the last third of it. May Allah accept whatever we do at that time and not make us people of popularity seeking and Ria and Suma. May Allah protect from every evil. أمين وإياكم مع عامر حاوي.
الحمد لله شيخ.
The question here, I think it's very appropriate.
نعم.
The person is saying السلام عليكم. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. It's the dua best said in sujood. Within the tahajjud prayers. Or we wait till after Taslim to sit down and begin the dua. Both of them. You can make your dua and your sujood. Because the time is already the time of closeness to Allah. Sujood is also an action of closeness to Allah. If you combine it, it is the best. You can make that dua and sujood. Not necessarily the last sujood. Not necessarily the first sujood. In all your sujood, there is no specification. All the sujood, anytime you are in sujood, you are nearest to Allah, the Prophet said so too, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if in the time of the day, you are nearest to Allah in the last third of the night, and then Allah is calling, asking you, ask me, I will give you. Request, I will answer. Ask for forgiveness and I will forgive you. And you are in sujood saying that when you are also closest to Allah, that is the best. But if after that you also sit down to specifically ask Allah, that's also good. But sujood is best, ikhwah. May Allah accept all of it.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Inna wa iyyakum rajiun.
Assalamu alaikum. It's for both the Imam and the congregation. And secondly, seeking refuge from Shaitan and saying Bismillah. Is it for every raka'ah or just the first? Jazakum Allah khairan.
May Allah bless you. The question is regarding dua al-iftar. Is it for both Imam? Yes. Dua al-iftar, you say after takbiratul ihram, it's for everybody. Everybody will say it. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adda bayna al-mahdi wa al-mahdi. This one was reported by Abu Huraira. or the others, the one reported by Omar, and so on. You say it immediately after Takbiratul Imam, Takbiratul Ihram. Both Imam and those behind the Imam, everybody will say it. Seeking refuge from Shaitan and saying Bismillah for every rak'ah or for just the best. Seeking refuge from Allah, Al-Isti'adha. This question is about Salat. Abu Amir, during the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, I continue to recall, because of the questions that came up while we were at Hajj with the brothers we were with, I was feeling that one weekend, a Saturday and a Sunday, we dedicate it for Salat. Abu Amir, are you there?
No, I'm here, Sadan.
We will dedicate one Saturday and one Sunday for Salat. That's a Sunday. We will open up the video. We will describe Salat to all of us. If we have known it before, it will be a different class for us. If we have not known it before, it will be an opportunity to learn about Salah physically. I will open up the video, inshallah. We will see it all. How do we observe Salah? That will be on a Saturday and a Sunday combined, inshallah. We look forward to it. Remind me also if you see that I am forgetting. Salah is very important. The mainstay of the deen of the Muslim. Once a person accepts Shahada, what's the next thing? Salat. The Imam of the Prophet called it alayhi salatu salam. The pillar of the deen of the Muslim is Salat. It differentiates between the Muslim and the Kafir. So you will see that it is not proper at all that the Muslim does not know how to accept Salat. Salat that we are talking about. We are talking about Qiyamul Layl. Someone cannot observe Salatul Fajr. He does not observe Salatul Zuhr correctly. How can he now observe Qiyamul Layl correctly? How? May Allah protect all of us. Even Allah would fix it a weekend where observe, we make the entire class for that weekend to be upon Salat. I'll be descriptive about it and visual about it, inshallah. As for this question, if a person says Takbiratul Ihram, the next thing he says is Dua al-Istiftah or Zikru al-Istiftah. There are various forms of it. After Zikru al-Istiftah, he should make Istiaza. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. This is the most perfect form of saying the Quran. You can also say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. Many scholars also say you can say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. One way I used to. A'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim. Many scholars say you can say that. After this isti'adha, why are you saying isti'adha? You are saying isti'adha because you want to read the Quran. And Allah commanded the Quran that we should make isti'adha. Zaqad al-Quran. Fasta'idhillah. When you recite the Quran, say isti'adha. Some scholars like Al-Imam Ibn Hazm and many others, they say this command means that anytime you want to read Quran, you must say Isti'adha. But others amongst the scholars say no. The ruling is that it is encouraged. And that shows obligation. They say it's a command that shows importance and significance. So if you want to read Quran, say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه as we have described. I think this is the strongest feeling. that it is mustahab. I used to believe that it's the other, it's wajibah. But I think, and Allah knows best, that it is mustahab. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had many cases when he came to the people and he read the verse of the Quran. And he will not read an isti'adha. He will not say isti'adha before reading those verses. There are many ahadith where the Prophet will be talking. That his talk with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to read a verse of the Quran. And he will read that verse without reciting isti'adha. For me, it is the biggest proof that al-isti'adha may not be read. But it is encouraged that we read it. So the ruling of that isti'adha after dua ul-istishtah is that it is mustahab, bismillah. Then you say bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That isti'adha and the basmala, they are different. Al-basmala too is part of suratul fatiha. Keep this in your mind. It is both whether you respect isti'adha or not. In salat and wherever. Whether you recite the other or must recite bismillah, especially if you are praying alone. If you don't recite that bismillah, you don't have salah. Because bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. If you don't recite Surah Al-Fatiha while praying alone or while leading people in prayer, you don't have salah. If you don't recite Surah Al-Fatiha while praying alone or while leading people in Jama'ah, you don't have Salah. Because La Salata liman lam yaqra bi Fatihati al-Kitab and Al-Basmala to Awwaluha, the first verse in Surah Al-Fatiha is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So while on Salah, the difference, the ruling is completely different between the isti'adha and the basmala. The isti'adha is mustanduba, mustahabba. But the basmala is part of Suratul Fatiha. It is part of the arkan salah. Suratul Fatiha is ruknum in arkan salah. If you don't read it, you don't have salah. But if you are praying behind the imam, the strongest view and Allah knows best is that Suratul Fatiha is wajibah. If you're praying behind the Imam, Suratul Fatiha is wajibah. If you are praying alone, Suratul Fatiha is rukun. If you don't read it, you don't have salah. If you are leading people in salah, Suratul Fatiha is rukun. If you don't read it, you don't have salah. Even if they have salah, you don't have salah. The salah is invalid because you have left the room of the arkan of salah. Now the question is, this arrangement, this is how to do every rak'ah. In every rak'ah, the first rak'ah, you recite dua al-istiftah, you recite isti'adha, Al-Basmala, then on the part of Surah Al-Fatiha, this is the element. In the second, you remove istiftah. Why? Because you are not starting the rak'ah again. You are not starting the salat again. The whole istiftah is read while starting the salat. So for the second rak'ah, you are not starting the salat. So you don't recite that dua al-istiftah again. Where do you now start from? Isti'adha. Why? Because you're also reading Quran again. What Quran are you reading? You are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that companion, Khalad ibn Rafid, who read in his salah, after he came in two rak'ah, he told him to do what he told him in the first rak'ah, in the second rak'ah. The things he told him to do in the first rak'ah is isti'adha. Before he makes isti'adha, he reads Surah Al-Fatiha. The things the second rak'ah too, as he stands up, he makes isti'adha. And then he prefer to go through the Fatiha. We do so for every rak'ah. The only thing you would have removed is what? That dua al-istishtar. I hope that this lengthy explanation is clear, inshallah.
نعم شيخ أختم بإليكم جزاكم الله خير.
I mean the prayer is already fasted, but let me answer one more question here. That's all. Sorry, friend of mine.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Mohammed, you have a question? I have a question here. I can drop my own for your own.
You can go ahead, sir.
And a woman make Dalla on her married friend. He just going to visit for some days. Can you do that? Can a woman just talk about, just go to her husband when her friend's house to go stay for some days? There are only things connected to it. Number one, your own husband has to permit you to go out to that your friend's house. Dalla does not mean that your husband does not have control over you again because you want to make dalla. No. Your own husband has to permit you. If you don't have a husband, your father has to. If you don't have a dad, you are perhaps under your brother or your uncle. There is no time Islam allows a woman to be a free man without control. She must have somebody that controls her. If you don't have a father, you don't have a brother, your son can also control you. Somehow you can have teachers too who control you. Hey, don't go there. Don't do that, this. You are under them. So, if you have permission, that's your friend. She does not own her house. She's not in control of the house. She too, she's either under us and her dad, or her brother, or her uncle. She needs their permission too. As a woman, to accept you coming to the house. Because the Sharia limits how someone can come to the house without permission. So if you say it is Dalla, you can go to a house without her permission. That's her house. It's not under her. She is not the owner of the house. Is not control of the husband or the father is the controller of the house, not your friend. So that your friend needs permission from her husband. She needs permission from her father as for her friend to come. So you cannot without the control of her husband or her father as the case may be. You need permission, she needs permission. The women must just be like that. I can go somewhere in our religion. So many things are attached to it. I hope that it is clear. Although I know that some Muslim women, they only relate with one hadith. Men do it too. Once they see one report, they don't care about any other thing that's connected to it. They don't care. One hadith said something, all other things that are related to it care. If that is connected to it, the woman can go out without the permission of her husband. The woman cannot also give you permission without her own husband. I hope that it's clear.
Shaykhana. Jazakum khair. Salawatullahi alaykum.
Inu antum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Ameen wa iyyakum Allah.